Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo in his Phillies jersey. I'm Evan Cohen. Normally you hear me on Sportsmanlike with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Here on ESPN Radio, we got Cam in a Phillies jersey.
We've got
Nick in for Bubba in a quilted shirt with a collar.
A
quilt with a collar. What a shirt. What a green, blue, and tan combination with really no indication for why the patterns are what they are.
If I wore that to work and Greeny were in that chair, he would just rip me for 2 hours. It would be relentless. Relentless.
Nick, let's just for a second. What went through your mind when you purchased that? Or was that purchased for you?
It was a Christmas gift, and I asked for it from my father, and he was like, "It's the ugliest shirt I've ever seen." But he got it still.
Specifically asked for that shirt?
I saw it, and I was like, "I want that shirt." It's very 90s, and it's
What year were you born?
98. So I missed out. So
I was reliving his glory days before.
Where did you see this shirt? Again, Hembo described it so perfectly. It is a quilt with a collar. Mm-hmm. We put it out at ESPN Radio. Where did you on social? Where did you see this?
This is a Gap shirt I saw.
A Gap shirt.
And then did you send the link to your dad?
Yes, I did.
And his response was literally, "That's the ugliest shirt I've ever seen."
Yep.
And bought it for you anyway.
Yeah, that's parenting.
Wow.
Is that parenting?
I mean, it's a good shirt. I don't know what you guys see.
It's a good shirt relative to what?
Like, would you not wear this shirt, Evan?
I would not wear that shirt. Correct, Nick.
Well, you're old, so.
Oh.
I'm old.
Oh.
That sounded like he was just lashing out.
He had nothing else to say. He just went with the old because Hembo was trying to create this bit that I am so old.
It's not a bit. I just looked at the calendar.
I'm 43. That's not that old.
Damn. No, it's not that old, but everything in life is relative, and you are working with much younger people.
Okay, but Hembo, in no way, shape, or form would I describe myself as cool. Am I clearly cooler than Nick?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
All right, wait. Hembo, why were you so sure?
Look at you!
Just based upon your appearance.
You're wearing a quilt with a collar.
Based on your appearance.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, you asked the...
I'm not cool. And I'm willing to acknowledge that I'm
But
not
you're wearing
cool.
a cool shirt today.
Oh, he's definitively cooler than you?
No.
He also said go ape earlier, which makes you cool.
Go ape.
Lit, bro.
Cam, you know how like some people, like they'll do like an SAT word of the day? Like I'm trying to do like a slang term of the day to try and like modernize myself.
He's up to mash. Rad from the 80s. He's rad. Like, I'm rad. All right. You had a...
Sure for radical, right?
Okay. You had an in-the-flow-of-conversation random trivia question
based
on the Dodgers' tremendous 1-2-3 that you think between Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman will be 1, 2, and 3 in whatever order in the MVP in the National League this
That's year. Right. And it has been quite a long time since there were teammates that finished 1-2-3 in their league's MVP voting.
I said to you in the break the A's, but now I'm thinking, was it the 1961 Yankees?
It was more recent than that.
Okay.
I don't think
Was
they
it the Reds?
It was not the Reds or the Yankees. If I give you the team in the year, though, I think you'll get all three. Are you ready for me to go there or not yet?
Go ahead.
The 1966 Orioles went 1-2-3 in the American League MVP voting. I think you can get all three.
Frank Boog?
Yes, in the order of Frank Brooks Boog. Well done. That was Frank Robinson's first year on the Orioles after being traded from Cincinnati after he was declared an old 30-year-old.
There was a look that Hembo just gave me for the radio audience, not watching on the ESPN app, of somehow proud.
Pride.
Like there was a look of like, wow. You
it's
really
like when
do
I heard
my
for the first time I heard Dada. It was like, oh, I'm so proud of you. When you just got those three guys
as quickly as I did.
But you didn't.
I've told you a million times that growing up, baseball was my favorite sport by a mile. It is not as it once was. But so if you're asking me questions about the old days, I have a better chance of answering them than to recent memory.
But I mean, you were just a young lad in 1966,
right,
so you remember it well. I did think that you would get Frank Robinson first because he did win the MVP that year very famously in his first year on the Orioles, and that was the year they swept the Dodgers in the World Series to bring it all the way back around.
Who was fourth in the MVP that year?
Let me pull it up now.
Well, you should know that off the top of your head.
Should I? Should I know who finished fourth in the American League MVP voting? It was
in
Harmon
1966?
It was Harmon Killebrew.
Yeah. I think if every single person listening to this show knows you, if you were to say, should Hembo, we could put a poll up there at ESPN Radio, should Hembo know who finished fourth in the 1966 AL MVP
Wait,
off the top of his
this
head?
This is crazy. The Orioles had the top three. The Twins had the next three.
Harmon Killebrew, Jim Cotton, Tony Oliva.
Yeah, that's wild.
By the way, speaking of my...
What, were there only two teams in the AL that year? What is that?
Speaking of the encyclopedic nature of my baseball brain, Jack earlier today, literally earlier today, said to Brandon, he's like, that's like asking
him... you got to give context. This is where you can't do the ins and outs now.
No, Jack, Pineapple Jack.
Okay.
Member of the show, you know, hashtag member, and Brandon, our stage manager, who is average at trivia. And Jack said to Brandon, he said, that'd be like me asking him, but who started game one of the 1903 World Series? And I said... Well, actually, that was Cy Young and Deacon Philippe. So that's something that I actually did
Tell me a little bit more about Deacon Philippe.
Deacon Philippe.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, anyway. All right, so we know two nights ago that Draymond Green gets kicked out of a game for the Golden State Warriors against the Orlando Magic. And, Hembo, I was so unbelievably frustrated with this because I am an unapologetic Draymond Green fan. Now, why? Why am I an unapologetic Draymond Green fan? Because... while most people in sports have a comp, this man does not. There is nobody in this sport that can do what he does on the court to unlock the greatness of the superstar that is Steph Curry. And you could sit there and say, well, what are you talking about? LeBron James is arguably the second greatest player of all time. That's correct. Would LeBron James be willing in an NBA game for 48 minutes to go zero from the floor, not take a single shot, and not care? And would he be willing for 48 minutes to guard the best player on the other team regardless of the position? I believe that he would be to some extent, but not for the entirety of it. What Draymond Green does on the floor is completely selfless when he's playing basketball. Tim Legler has described him as selfless and selfish simultaneously, because on the court, he does what every superstar dreams of. Do I have a player that's going to do all of the dirty work at the highest of levels, that's going to pass me the ball and everyone else the ball and play defense against anyone that we ask him to play defense against in order for me to get the best out of myself as a superstar? Draymond Green is better at that than anyone in this sport currently. We constantly, in sports, when we're putting teams together, look for executives, look for players that could perform at the exact same level as another player that would be younger and cheaper. You cannot find a player that performs at his level when he's actually playing basketball. There is no comp. You cannot find someone younger and cheaper that does what he does. What you can find is someone that, if you had to trade him, plays a style that is different, that you create a new style, but not the way they currently play. So that is why, I just wanted to give a little context there as to why I love this guy as a basketball player and why I think that he was vital to all of the championship runs that they had, four of them, six finals. And I could even come to the place, Hembo, of making an ounce of a defense for not what he did to Nurkic or to Gobert, but why he did it. Nurkic was a basketball play initially. Gobert was coming to the defense of a teammate. The other night, when you get thrown out after 4 minutes of a 6-4 basketball game on the road, second night of a back-to-back, Miami and then at Orlando, without Jonathan Kuminga, for literally no apparent reason, there was no defense. And when I saw Steph Curry put his jersey over his face, I thought that was the moment. That was the moment, like when I saw Draymond Green and Kevin Durant against the Clippers years ago, that you knew that that was it. Draymond tried to defend himself on his podcast yesterday, the Draymond Green Show, courtesy of The Volume.
I said what I said. I deserved to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like, a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But yeah, it just can't happen. And like, we need to win games. So like I said, not going to overreact like, oh man, like, stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like, I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that that's the exception and not the rule.
So I wish I was able to personally take that advice in real life of things are not as good as it seems or as bad as it seems. I am emotional. I ride the roller coaster. I'm not you. I'm not a robot. I'm not a straight line at all times with no human emotions, as you take pride in.
Sure do.
But that was the moment where I thought the other night, he finally has gone to a place of too far, and I think they're going to trade him.
That was the moment?
That was the moment.
I think you're over-dramatizing this. I think this is much ado about nothing. Nothing.
Have you ever seen Steph Curry react that way?
No. I mean, it was a strong, visceral reaction by Steph, and Steve Kerr's comments yesterday on the radio were strong and very telling.
Let's listen to those. 95-7, the game in the Bay.
every game being so important, you know, us fighting for everything, and then for Draymond to get kicked out 3 minutes in, it was really unforgivable. I think Steph may have even been a little upset with himself for not pulling Draymond out of there, but I think mostly it was just, come on, man, you know, we need this. Any mention of Steph being culpable is just ridiculous. The way Steph has carried our franchise, represented our franchise for 15 years, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Hembo, let me be clear. That was the moment for me. It may not have been the moment for them, but that was the moment for me where I'm looking at that play and I don't understand why he went off the way he did. And I just saw a different version of Steph Curry. And they're also a game up on the Rockets at that point, who had won 10 games in a row. For the play-in as a 10 seed, just for the right to win a game, to win another game, to get into the playoffs. That was the moment for me, yes.
I get the context, but I think the fact that Steve Kerr would call this unforgivable is ludicrous.
Why?
Unforgivable to get ejected from a basketball game? Like, I understand the context here. I get the track record of Draymond Green. I get it all. I've lived this just like you have. But I agree with your characterization of Draymond Green. I happen to believe that he is, if not the greatest, one of the greatest role players of all time. He is
in any sport or this sport?
In this sport, just okay. For the purposes of this discussion. But you can be a superstar in the NBA within the context of your role. Robert Horry is another player that I think fit that description. So is Bruce Bowen. Draymond Green is a superstar in his role.
Yes.
An integral part, in my opinion, the second most important part of the most recent dynasty we've had in that sport. Mm-hmm. But Draymond Green is also not a robot. And the Draymond Green stuff, inclusive of, you know, this ejection for seemingly no reason, is just baked into the cake. Is it inexcusable? Yes. Is it unforgivable? No, of course not. Unforgivable, you might say, is punching your teammate in practice and then getting an extension after it. But let's not be ridiculous here, guys. Draymond Green getting kicked out of a game because he wouldn't let the ref alone is much ado about nothing the way that we're reacting to it.
I don't agree with you. And when he says unforgivable, I think it is fair to say I will never forgive you for that moment when that moment comes up. I also may not care about that moment tomorrow.
Mm.
Right? I think that's what, like, there is no actual understanding for why you felt the need, if you're Draymond, to go off on the officials 4 minutes into a game on a play that really didn't involve you that much.
I don't disagree with that. But I think that, like, we're talking about a player who, like, majors in this. And you can't have it both ways, because if Draymond Green wasn't so highly competitive and didn't burn so hot and wasn't that quick to anger, then Draymond Green wouldn't have made himself a second round pick turned greatest role player in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, and in this specific case, when Steve Kerr is saying that the label of Steph being a bad leader or put on Steph is in direct relation to what Jay Williams said yesterday here on ESPN. And I talked to Jay about this, and like how I took it is how Jay said I was right to take it, which is simply people reached out to Jay and said, this is all on Steph Curry's watch. Just like J.R. Smith going the wrong way in the NBA Finals is on LeBron's watch, right? It's in a way a compliment to him to say you are so important that everything that happens, good and bad, is a reflection of you. Right? You, Hembo, are on Greeny's watch. When you say and do some of the ridiculous things you do, it does not mean that Greeny is a bad host, person, or leader. It just means you are so tied to his greatness, you're on his watch.
Do you think that we've reached a place where Draymond Green is undoing any of the good things that he and Steph have done over the course of time?
No, because let me rephrase. Anyone that watched him in his prime, that was old enough to watch him, cover him, talk about him professionally like we do, or be a fan, in his prime knows that dude is a phenomenal basketball player, or was a phenomenal basketball player. Those that are just coming into their own as sports fans now don't know that version of him. Don't know what it looks like when he's helping defend LeBron James, when he is helping scheme a defense on the court as it goes to defend a Rockets team, which then was very difficult to guard with Harden and Chris Paul, etc. That Draymond Green, as you said, to your credit on that, good point, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, role players of all time. He will find himself in the Hall of Fame one day. And I don't know that there is another player in the history of the sport that will willingly do what he did. Dennis Rodman is the only one that would willingly not care about ever shooting a basketball and somehow being a great offensive player. Yes, you heard me right. I believe that Draymond Green in his prime was a great offensive player without ever shooting the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely.
In one of the worst losses you will ever have, when you're down 3-1 and the Cavs come back and win, I don't know if you remember this, in Game 7, Draymond Green hit 6 3-pointers in that game.
He was great.
Great. But do I think that people are going to remember him more as selfish or selfless? Probably selfish. It is Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio. See why over 28 million drivers, trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. And let me be clear on what I'm saying. I think that the fans now will remember him as selfish. I will not remember him that way.
Nor will I.
And I do believe this offseason they are going to have more real conversations about trading him than ever before, because I think what it's come down to is they believe that this system is not going to work for them to win moving forward in this league with these players. So you may not get value in return from Draymond that would equal the value of Draymond Green to the Warriors in the system. What you need to do is get value in return that triggers the next version of whatever Steph Curry's career is going to look like. Coming up, today is the anniversary of one of the great moments in March Madness history. And the birth of a legend. We'll discuss next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Greeny, the podcast.
Guardy in the double team, gives it back to Black with 20 seconds left to play. Goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good! 13, 12, 11, Georgetown with one timeout. Fred Brown looking, oh, way to Worthy! Worthy five! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Tar Heel Sports Network, Michael Jordan, game winner against Georgetown. Oh, I love this music.
What's it from?
Well, it's the Bulls theme song.
That's what it's... That was its origin?
Alan Parsons Project, I want to say?
Yeah.
Have you not heard this?
Of course I've heard this, but I didn't know if there was like a... If there was an origin to it that I should have known. So the Bulls are who birthed this?
Well, I mean, they didn't write the song, but yeah, that's how everybody knows them. And that shot from 1982 today, March 29th,
but he didn't make that shot for the Bulls.
Okay. We get it, but when you... Okay, actually, you bring up an interesting question that you didn't bring up, but I'll bring it up. When you think about Michael Jordan, what's the song that you most closely tie to Michael Jordan? Is it Be Like Mike or is it the Bulls theme song?
Oh, I don't think of him. I mean, I think of him as a member of the Birmingham Barons.
Shout out to Terry Francona.
I don't have a song association for Michael Jordan.
You're like legitimately not a person sometimes.
By the way, that song is called Sirius, spelled like Sirius XM, and it's by the Alan Parsons Project. So I didn't know what the track was called. They made the song originally, but early 80s, so maybe a little later. But
well what's the song you attach to MJ?
There are lyrics to it? By
the way. I think later in the song there may be. I'm not sure. Cam, what is the song you most attach to MJ? Is it Be Like Mike or is it the Bulls theme song?
I think that one, I wasn't obviously around when Michael Jordan was in his prime or playing, really. So I think I just remember seeing all the old documentary clips and stuff. Obviously, The Last Dance of that theme song being played because I wasn't, you know, I've seen the commercial, but didn't remember it being like a cultural touchstone like it was.
Both of them.
The Fred Brown pass, man, one of the all-time athlete blunders ever.
For Georgetown.
Ever.
Yeah. 1982 finals. But by the way, you know, speaking of Michael, I'm glad we brought up Michael.
Didn't you have something yesterday?
I'm glad you asked.
With him?
With Michael?
It rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that?
So I was talking to somebody. You know how, so Hembo and I, and by the way, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We are coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. So Hembo and I have become friends, I would say, right?
As of next week.
Yeah.
Until you have lunch.
Until our big lunch. But I would say that we actually kind of have like become friends. And one of the things with friends you never discuss, religion, you never discuss politics, it goes nowhere, right? Or family, you just never want to go there.
Right.
I think there are some other things that you should never discuss, because yesterday I was interacting with somebody that I've considered a friend over the last 3 years since I moved to where I live now in New York, and we never had the Michael LeBron conversation because I don't believe there's a conversation to be had. It's Michael Jordan and there is no Michael versus LeBron.
Oh, you're one of those.
And I have no interest in even ever having it. And this guy kind of had LeBron. And I realized I couldn't then talk to him about this.
So there was, that's for you a disqualifying opinion.
I was done.
You can't remain friends with someone.
I can remain friends with him. We cannot have that conversation ever again.
Just that one.
Yes. Well, I'm not interested in talking religion or politics with him. But my point is, there are some sports arguments that I am not capable of getting into, even as someone that literally argues sports for a living.
That rise to the level of religion or politics.
Rises
to the level of religion or politics.
Correct.
What others, aside from Michael or LeBron, come to mind for you?
That is it.
There's no like Baseball Hall of Fame
so
one?
I asked Chris Canty about this and Michelle Smallman this morning on Sportsman. And Canty said he cannot stand the argument of Jeter being overrated.
Wow. Because both of the things that you don't like, the pro-LeBron argument and the Jeter's overrated argument, are opinions that I share. So we should just not talk about those things.
Yeah. Or just not talk.
Right.
It's going to make this show pretty tough.
What is his Jeter argument?
He's a Yankee fan.
No, of course. I get that. But like, why can't he listen to the facts?
But that's... What you just did is why people can't do that in any way, shape, or form.
It's just too triggering for him?
No, it's triggering
to learn the truth.
Like, I'm not even a Yankee fan. I'm a Mets fan. I have no interest in having a conversation about Jeter being overrated, because really what you're doing to many people is you're arguing with them about whether or not they enjoyed their sports fandom as a child.
Hmm.
That's actually what you're doing. Because
that's interesting.
You're taking what you believed as a kid as an unflappable, unarguable conversation and doing it in a way that literally eliminates years of emotion and feelings and opinions.
That's interesting, because I had the same experience in some sense with Allen Iverson, who was my favorite basketball player growing up. And I watched every Sixers game and fell in love with Allen Iverson.
Right.
But as I grew older and learned math and became a sports researcher, what I quickly came to learn was that Allen Iverson is super overrated. At least he is numerically. And so there is sort of a disconnect between
You just said that out loud. Like, are you uncomfortable saying that out loud?
It's hard for me to. But right. I think that objectively, James Harden is a greater player than Allen Iverson.
That's hard. I'm not even an Iverson guy or a Harden guy. Like, that's hard for me to hear.
Right, and it's hard for me to say.
I don't agree with you because of... And I'm going to tell you why. I went to the 2003 NBA All-Star Game in Atlanta, and I had seen Iverson play in person before, but there was something about watching him play in an All-Star game and physically seeing him next to the greatest of the greats and realize that guy shouldn't be able to do those things against those players. And that was at a time where the All-Star game, like, they gave 50% effort.
Yeah, he was magic. He was magic. But I think we have this reflex to sort of back the underdog. And, you know, for example, if you ask baseball fans, Greg Maddux, Roger Clemens, Randy Johnson, who's the best? So a disproportionate number would say Greg Maddux, not because he was greater, but because of how he did it. But I live in a world now where numbers are the driving force behind my opinions. And I can say for sure that Greg Maddux was the third best pitcher among those three pitchers.
But you're willing to have these arguments that as a kid you weren't willing to have now? Because I'm still living in that world. As a kid growing up, idolizing and loving Michael Jordan, where I will not even entertain a conversation about someone else, right? I will never even entertain a conversation about a winner in baseball, which I understand is non-tangible outside of World Series, which is not an individual stat. Like, I won't, as a Mets fan, I won't have the conversation about Jeter being overrated because I believe he's so important to the concept of winning.
I'll tell you what argument that is for me. I've heard a lot of people say that my favorite athlete of all time is Cal Ripken Jr. And I hear a lot of people say that his streak, 26-32, hurt the team and is one of the most overrated streaks of, or accomplishments of its kind in any sport. And that boils my blood.
So you won't even do it.
That is not to say that those arguments are invalid, but like you said, there are certain things as sports fans that you can't even allow to enter your consciousness because that takes someone from being the deity that they are in your brain to being immortal in your brain, and that changes your whole worldview on sports.
No, yes, but it also retroactively alters your childhood. Because you loved, like, we are adults now. It's hard to love athletes the way in which you love them as a kid.
It's impossible.
As an adult. And so what you're doing is, I'm saying, like, the feelings that Michael Jordan gave me when I had nothing else to feel, right? I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. I didn't have real life things. I was living in make-believe world at that point, right? And the feelings he gave me of watching something that I couldn't believe actually was real, it's different than when I'm literally sitting at the American Airlines Arena watching LeBron James play basketball, worrying about what sound I'm getting after the game, right? Like being there talking about it or my angles to discuss it. It's just a different world.
Is there an athlete in your adult life that has provided you a either comparable or close to comparable joy? And that sort
Brady.
Of... Brady's the one.
I mean, Steph. I think Steph, what he's able to do is just remarkable.
But Steph isn't greater than LeBron, and even you would be willing to acknowledge that, right?
Different than LeBron. Different than LeBron.
But he's not greater than LeBron. He's not better than LeBron.
But again, here's the core of the argument goes back to, I understand this is illogical because if I'm going to think this way, why is Bill Russell not the greatest player? And what I value the most, Steph is equal to LeBron. Being the best player on championship teams. Now, Kevin Durant may have been better in two of those, but I don't think that Kevin Durant is there without Steph Curry in the first place, right? They each have four championships, correct?
Correct. But there's no good faith argument to say that Steph Curry is a greater player historically than LeBron James.
I understand, but the fact that they are equal to...
They're not equal to.
They each have four championships.
Well, yes, but like we can find any number of people that also have four championships that aren't close to the player LeBron James is.
But, okay, but again, going back to the original thing, right?
Yeah.
So the 42-year anniversary of the Michael's shot to win a championship for North Carolina over Georgetown. The thing yesterday where I'm having a conversation with somebody about who wanted to bring up Michael versus LeBron, and I said, I can't do it. That I think every single person listening and watching to us right now has that sports argument that they're completely closed-minded to, that they will not even get into. And I'm not interested in getting into a LeBron versus Michael. Neither of you are you right now. What we're saying is, it's equal to politics and religion of, I just don't want to do it.
Untouchable.
In any way, shape, or form. We're not going to have that conversation. You are not going to talk about religion the way you're not going to talk about Cal Ripken hurting the Orioles during that streak. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today. You guys can secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase, from buzzer beaters to walk-off homers. Vivid Seats has great selections and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Now, you can go to Vivid Seats and go to some NFL games this year. And when we're talking about the NFL, the over-unders came out this week.
Is it just me, or did this happen a lot earlier than it usually does? I don't remember before the draft last year us having the totals for all 32 teams.
I also don't remember ESPN Bet being here last year, and thankfully ESPN Bet is here this year, the official sports book of ESPN. What a play, Hembo.
What a play.
All right. Do you have a few? Do you want to give or you want me to...
I want to react to yours because you texted us yesterday and said you had as many as 11 that stood out to you.
Yes, so 11.
I have not... Because, like, look, I do hours of research before betting any of these, as you might expect. And because the NFL season doesn't start for another 6 months, I've obviously not done that yet. 5 months. So give me yours and I'll react to them top of the head just based on the research I've done so far.
Okay, so over-unders off of ESPN Bet, the 11 that jumped out at me that I would consider for me, for me. Denver under 5.5. Someone's got to tank. Usually the worst team in the league finishes somewhere between 2 and 4 wins. If Denver doesn't get a quarterback, unless you think that Sean Payton is a miracle worker, explain to me how they're going to get over 5.5.
They're terrible. They're going to go at best 1-5 in their division, right?
At best.
You think?
Right. So I took Denver under 5.5.
And they don't even have their own second round pick this year. So they pick at 12, not again until 76. It's a bottom 5 roster without a quarterback. I don't think Sean Payton's working miracles there. I think they win fewer than 5 games. I like that.
I know you disagree with this one. I think Chicago over 9.5.
Over 9.5?
Getting to 10 is not impossible. They won 7 last year with a much worse team.
It's not impossible, but I think we are vastly overrating the impact that a rookie quarterback is going to have in that infrastructure. The defense was great at the second half of last season. There is a representative group of players around him. I have question marks when it comes to the coaching staff. Very rarely do rookie quarterbacks step in right away and lead their team to 10 wins. Especially with the first pick, Andrew Luck is literally the only one to ever do it.
Well, good for you and me because I got this wrong. The total's 8.5.
I mean, I'm still taking the under 8.5.
So I'm definitely taking the over. Thank you, Cam.
That's brutal.
All right, let's run through these. I'm going to give them all. You tell me which ones jump out at you.
You got it.
From a time perspective here.
Sure.
This one was so easy for me. The Chargers over 8.5. I know they're in the AFC West, but Harbaugh's never bad. I took Miami under 9.5. They can win 9 games next year, and that hits as a winning record. I think they have clearly gotten worse. Vegas under 6.5. The losses in that division have to come from somewhere else in addition to Denver. I think they had the interim coach bump last year with Antonio Pierce. The interim coach keeping the job doesn't usually work out that well. Cleveland over 8.5. 9 wins. If Deshaun Watson plays, and I know he hasn't played that well, but I think that Deshaun Watson's going to play more games this year, and they're going to be okay.
So you say the losses have to come from somewhere. You seem to like what Pittsburgh's done. Who's losing games in that division? If you like Cleveland over, that means you're telling me you like all 4 overs for those teams?
Well, I did take Pittsburgh over 8.5, which I thought was an easy one because Mike Tomlin always has a winning record. But if you take the Ravens under at 11.5 and they have 11 wins or 10 wins.
But still, you're going to need those teams to split in their own division.
But the Ravens also saw that home field advantage doesn't matter for them, so making sure they're ready for the playoffs probably matters more so.
And are you in or out on Cincinnati?
What's the number on Cincinnati? I don't have that as one of my teams here.
I'll pull it up again. Okay. I don't have that in front of me either, but Cincinnati...
They are 10.5.
That's a big number.
Right, but again, 10.
So you they won 9 games last year with Browning, perhaps.
You have 4 winning,
by the way.
4 winning teams from one division?
Maybe the most untold NFL story
they did it last
year.
Season.
Jake Browning was very good.
Yeah, he was. He was good.
No reason to go further than that. I just that
he
little drop there. I took Detroit under 10.5 just because I think that division is going to be much better all across the board. Green Bay's going to be better. Chicago's going to be better. Minnesota could be worse, obviously.
You know I'm high on Minnesota.
All right, next one. I took Tennessee over 6.5. I actually think Tennessee has built themselves... since making the ridiculous move of getting rid of Mike Vrabel, they've made every correct move. When you have a quarterback on a rookie-scale deal as a second-round pick, you're supposed to pay everybody else to see what happens there. And I actually think Will Levis could be pretty good.
Yeah, you like Will Levis, so do I. When you have a guy making so little money playing quarterback, then you can actually go out there and overpay for Calvin Ridley. Go overpay for L'Jarius Sneed. That's a winnable division and a better roster than that 6.5 number might indicate.
I took Jacksonville over 8.5, which I know would counteract everything I just said. But again, asking Trevor Lawrence to get to 9 and 10 wins should be a requirement.
Yeah, you're higher on Trevor Lawrence than I am. But I could see them getting to 9 or 10 wins.
And
so
now you're saying, well, you got AFC South. Where are the wins coming from? I actually took Houston under 9.5. Sophomore slump kind of year is just natural for anybody that did it so well for the first year with both head coach and quarterback.
They're going to be the sexiest. Watch them go to the AFC Championship game pick, but I'm with you. I'm a lot more tepid.
And there you go. There are my 11. What do you think?
I think we sprinted through that just fine. There are so many machinations, of course, between now and the season will kick off. The draft is going to swing these numbers a lot. So what I'm going to do between now and draft day is sort of anticipate quarterback moves that are made on that day and make some number bets accordingly, because those are going to swing the probabilities of these teams when we're going to say as many as six quarterbacks are going to go off the board in round one.
I got one more since we're obligated to. Cowboys, 10.5.
I'd probably take over. Because remember, like, that's what they do. They win in the regular season and not the postseason.
Yeah, how about 0.5 wins in the playoffs? Over or under?
I'll take over.
You think they're going to get a win?
Yeah, I think they'll get a win this year.
I think their roster is going to be considerably worse than it was last year.
I also am not sold that Dak Prescott should be on that team this year.
Whoa! Trade Dak Prescott this offseason?
Should have done it already. If this is how you're going into this, he ain't going to stay.
Oh, put a pin in that.
That's a tease for next week.
Am I on next week? I don't think so. Tune in. I mean, I'm on Unsportsmanlike. Tune in to baseball's opening weekend as the Dodgers host the Cardinals. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Coming up, who you got? It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, along with Hembo in a Phillies jersey. I am Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. Baseball is back. Tune in tomorrow. Hembo's Phillies hosting the Braves.
That's Are you going? Opening day is today. I'm not going. Oh, my mistake. You're reading a radio promo like a professional, and I'm interrupting you like a non-professional.
They are playing today, too, though.
Right, but we have shows on today. We have shows and games on tomorrow, right? So baseball is back. Tune in tomorrow as the Phillies host the Braves, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. And if you're one of the people calling the game, Hembo would like you to do it today.
Please.
On ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right. I'll say it.
Who you got?
My God, he was about to talk over the production, too.
Again.
It's unbelievable.
A series of mistakes.
All right, Cam, Bubba is out today, so you got who you got. Would you like to maybe do it as Bubba? Can you do that?
Yeah, who you got brought to you by... No, I'm kidding.
Do it. Please do it that way. Come
the
on.
MLB season is officially underway. Who you got as your World Series matchup?
Hembo?
My World Series matchup is Braves... Astros, a rematch of the World Series we had a couple years ago. I think the Atlanta Braves, top to bottom, is the most talented roster in the whole sport, inclusive of the Dodgers, and they improved their pitching enough in the offseason to where I think they will get over the hump and get to the World Series this season. And in the American League, the Houston Astros, despite a setback on opening day, have an absolutely loaded roster, a good lineup, a good starting rotation, and a great bullpen. And that bullpen is going to be the reason why they win the American League pennant.
All right, I have the Baltimore Orioles representing the American League, and I have them losing in the World Series to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Woohoo! Really? Do tell.
Yeah, it's because Pat Costello, producer of Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio, said the other day that he believes the Phillies are not getting enough love nationally. So I decided to go all in on the Phillies just to hopefully give him, I don't know, the kiss of death. Brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
Scientific.
Yes.
Pat just ran by jumping for joy, by the way, if you can see him in the hallway. He's very excited. Tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., also on ABC, same time as Phillies Braves, which is also today, Hembo.
Yeah, it's a series sport.
Yeah, it is a series. Number 5, Colorado takes on number 1, Iowa, and Caitlin Clark. Who you got in this Sweet 16 matchup?
I'm going to take Iowa, but I am nervous about them getting to the Final Four. If they have to face LSU, that is not going to be easy. I'm not going to also hold it against Caitlin Clark because she is a phenomenal player. Their team is very good, but the other teams that they are going up against, teams like South Carolina or USC, or in this case LSU, if they are to get past Colorado, are much better teams from top to bottom. So I'm not going to hold that necessarily against her. Just like I wouldn't hold Adam Morrison and Gonzaga not getting to the Final Four back in the day. Wow. Odd reference, but when you're known as like a really good player on a good team, but you're not looking to your, each side of you and you have McDonald's All-Americans, I'm not going to hold that against you. So I've got Iowa, but I'm not going to hold it against
you. I would play Colorado plus the 6.5, though. Like that's a number too large for the Iowa team that we have seen. I'm with you. They'll win the game outright, but they're not going to cover that number. But I do think that they'll reach the Final Four.
Next one, Cam.
As we mentioned today, the 42nd anniversary of Michael Jordan's game-winning shot for UNC over Georgetown to win the national championship. Who you got as your favorite game-winning shot in basketball history?
Okay, I'm going to be Hembo-ish here. Define game-winning. Is it as the clock expires?
Yeah, that is a good caveat. It doesn't have to be a buzzer beater. But probably, you know, last 10 seconds, I would say.
Because in my head, it's Ray Allen. Well, it went to overtime, but Ray Allen against the Spurs.
Yeah, game tying is pretty good, too.
Yeah, but I actually think the best game-winning shot in college basketball that I've seen was the Chris Jenkins Villanova.
Me too.
So good.
Number one on my list.
Beautiful
because
play.
Because of the way that they drew up the play. I'm going to tell you something.
At the trailer?
I do believe the single biggest shot in the history of the sport was missed, but if it was made, would have been Gordon Hayward against Duke. I don't believe there would have been a bigger shot in the history of basketball, NBA or college, if Gordon Hayward hit that shot.
I agree with that. And that was one when you were watching on TV from the TV angle, I thought it was going in the whole way.
That would have been real life Hoosiers. And I know Hoosiers is based on a real life story, but Butler would have beaten Duke in the national championship. Biggest shot in the history of the sport. Next one.
Did Hembo give a favorite shot?
Yeah, he gave the one I gave.
Chris Jenkins is my favorite shot. My least favorite buzzer beater is the Kawhi Leonard against Philly.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is an amazing one, but not for us. All right, 48 years ago
today. I mean,
Michael's
shot over Brian Russell, but
yeah, but I mean, I went like literal buzzer beater when I was thinking up my favorites.
48 years ago today, Jack Nicholson wins the Academy Award for his performance in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That movie won the Big Five Oscars that year. Who you got as your favorite Jack Nicholson movie?
The Departed. What did Nick have to say there?
I said that was a good one. I didn't think of it. Oh, my gosh.
I want to know what the quilted collared man had to say.
Nick, what is your favorite Jack Nicholson
film? I would have said A Few Good Men.
Good one.
Cam?
I'm going with Chinatown. Hembo?
I went around the room for that reason because I didn't want to embarrass myself, but now you've asked me to name a Jack Nicholson movie that I've seen. He's in The Shining, right?
He is in The Shining. Very well done.
I've seen The Shining one time during a torrential blizzard in Connecticut. This was probably like 2015. My roommates, we watched The Shining in this blizzard, and that was the only time I've ever seen it. But it was actually pretty scary.
Did you enjoy it?
No.
Okay.
I don't really like movies.
Yeah, we know that.
You don't like any movies?
Not really. I don't mind some Christmas movies, but I much prefer nonfiction. I much prefer nonfiction, and there aren't that many good nonfiction movies.
By the way, I don't know if you know, Nick's favorite movie, it came out in 1995 based on a 1991 novel, How to Make an American Quilt, Winona Ryder, starring in that movie.
I am a Winona Ryder fan.
Yeah, and thus you bought a shirt that looks like a quilt.
My gosh.
All right, last one. 17 years ago today, Umbrella by Rihanna featuring Jay-Z was released in the U.S. Who you got is your favorite Rihanna song?
I want Hembo to answer this. Do you even know Umbrella?
She played the Super Bowl a year ago.
I know that song. Ella, under my umbrella. Ella, I don't know any more words aside from the umbrella stuff.
Carlin versus Joe coming up next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio or
Watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.